Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Gary Penn, and it's been a while. I know. I have been just very, very busy, and I have missed my podcasters. You know, there's just so much to talk about, so much I want to talk about. I know that it's weird. Every time I want to think about what I want to explore, and I've got interviews that I want to do, people that I want to have lined up that I want to talk to. I'm having a big event on February 25th with Angel Quintana, the holistic fashionista, who is an amazing business. She's just a dynamo. She's someone that you look at and, I don't know, she is the 12-cylinder Ferrari that actually runs on all 12 cylinders. It's kind of one of those things where you go, someone has so much RAM drive, so much passion, so much understanding, you just want to be around those people. And so that's kind of cool. Today, I want to talk about stress. I want to talk about loneliness. I want to talk about anxiety. And I want to talk about finding meaning in our lives. It is something that certainly I see in my practice all the time, that people come to see me and they are just very, very stressed, very lonely. Anxiety seems to be everywhere, doesn't it? And a dearth of meaning. You come to see me, right? If someone comes to see me in therapy, I work at a certain level with a certain type of person. Not someone who's just so depressed they can't get out of bed, or it's just very low functioning, which these people are, of course, lovely people and deserve to be helped and need to be helped. I don't work with that population. I work with people who kind of are mirroring me in a way, in the sense of I function well, I'm smart, I'm educated. But as we're trying to work through our lives and we're trying to find meaning, and the world seems to be kind of screwed up. And is it that in the 60s and in the 70s and in the 80s and in the 90s that every part of our lives, every decade, you know, as you get older and you go through your life, you start to think, is it all like this? Right? When I was a boy, did my parents have an amazing marriage? Did I grow up in an amazing family where I was nurtured and my siblings were nurtured and we were encouraged and there was a bunch of generosity and kind of higher order thinking and people are growing and evolving and there's the law of abundance is taught, of generosity, of spirituality. No, that didn't happen in my world, right? That didn't happen. We were in the throes of Vietnam, right? All the death, all the destruction. Fearful of nuclear annihilation. Angry with everybody. We had, we lived in a country that had extreme prejudice. Jim Crow was still alive and there was anxiety and there was loneliness. Did I see my parents madly in love with each other, living a life of real connection? And no. Did I see a lot of my friends have that? Not really. There were some. Was there anxiety in the world? Maybe, you know, all the all the people that were thinking, am I going to be going to Vietnam, or is my siblings or my friends or my kids, are they going to go to Vietnam and go to some hellhole and fight for something that we have no idea about? Then you go into this, you know, Nixon and all that stuff, and then you go into all that stuff. And then, you know, Reagan came in the office, and I think life, we felt good. Forget about the politics and the policies of Ronald Reagan, whether you're a liberal or a conservative. Reagan made us feel good, didn't he? Whether it was all bullshit or not, but he certainly made us feel good. He made us feel, he told us a story of ourselves and of our country. You know, it's the therapist that says, you know, you deserve better, and you're supposed to be loved, and your partner isn't supposed to treat you that well. Yes, and you are supposed to succeed. And it's that kind of ebullient, optimistic kind of message that I think we all kind of stood up a little taller. In the 90s were kind of a blur. We had this and we had that. We had some kind of things that were going on that were interesting. And then, of course, this century, damn, seems hard. I see it all the time. It's just so hard for people. People are so stressed. I live in Los Angeles, where you can make a lot of money and not have any money, where a lot of money isn't really a lot of money anymore, where if you're single, it's really, really hard, right? It's like you meet someone and you like someone, but that person's still on an app where he or she could swipe a picture. And there's another person now trying to, like, sit there and get that person's attention. And they, you know, have bluer eyes or broader shoulders or bigger boobs or more money or something. And all of a sudden you're saying, well, but I'm a person. I'm not just the color of my eyes. I'm not just, you know, how tall I am or how shapely my body is. More. And yet, we live in a world of swipes. That if someone doesn't like the way you look, the way you, you know, how you are physically, that you're swiped away like you're just absolutely meaningless. Weird. And we feel powerless. Our country just feels so broken, doesn't it? You know, the head of Walmart, the guy who runs Walmart, top guy runs Walmart, makes about $25,000 an hour. And for some reason, he can't pay people $15 an hour who are starting off at Walmart because the company can't afford it. Well, if the company was pure to all of their stockholders and he just took $12,000 an hour instead of $22,000 or $25,000 an hour, every hourly employee can get $15 an hour, but no one does it. No one challenges it. No one thinks about it. We live in a world where, for some reason, climate change is a thing that people have feelings about. Again, this isn't a liberal. This isn't a Republican or a liberal or conservative position. Could you imagine that if you were listening to NASA scientists as they're trying to send a probe to Mars or to Jupiter or to Uranus or someplace like that, and say, well, we're going to do, the best way to do this is to send the rocket into space and to have it, you know, slingshot around the moon twice, and then it will propel itself over to Jupiter. Do you imagine someone saying, I don't believe that. I think that's bullcrap. I think you should just go straight to Jupiter without having a slingshot, that seems stupid to me. And then our senators and our congresspeople would say, yeah, because if I just throw this ball straight at that tree, why would I have to throw it around the house in order to get to the tree? That doesn't make any sense. And for some reason, this becomes a political problem. And so you and me and everyone that I know who looks at this says, why is this political? Why do people who don't know, people who are just living in the world, citizens of the world, bait what scientists tell us? I don't know. I really, and so we feel like we live in a very dysfunctional world on a personal level, on a world level. We walk around and we see things like ISIL, and we think, and the reactions that we have to it are so extreme. 14 people die in San Bernardino. And the reaction that we have is a world is so extreme, is so over the top. And we say, wait a minute, isn't anyone in control? Doesn't anyone have the ability to do this well? Doesn't the population have to do this? You know, don't we have any idea of what to do? I know that we mostly end up doing the right thing, that Obama's not bombing, you know, Pakistan into the Stone Age, and he's trying to do the right thing. But boy, other people just want to bomb everybody. And again, I don't know why this is political. I don't know why we just don't think things through. We've become a country that is addicted to our id. We just want this kind of gratification of killing when we're afraid, of kind of fucking when we're horny or when we're lonely. We just want to be with somebody. We just have this kind of incredible id of fear and sexuality and the idea of our reasonable ego, of thinking things through. Doesn't seem to be happening. It seems to be so confusing. We seem just to be so lost in all of this. And I think we just feel so helpless. And I really, you know, I get angry. You know, I get very angry. And I know sometimes I sound really political, but I'll give you an example. I pay a lot of taxes. Now, I would like to pay less taxes, right? I would like to pay less taxes. If a politician tells me that less taxes would make the economy grow really immensely and everyone would do well, not just, you know, the rich people, but everyone would do well, that the people who are you and me, the people who are making whatever they're making, 50,000, 100, 200, all these people would do really much better. The poor people and the unemployment would go way down and everyone would be doing really well. Why wouldn't everyone want to do that? But if you don't see that, if when you lower taxes really a lot and the country and the economy and the states and the cities do poorly, why would you want to believe that somehow that's not really happening? So it's really puzzling to me where we want to believe what we want to believe, because not believing what we want to believe, it seems like it's really hard for us to be wrong. And it's really, and when it's hard for you to be wrong, and it's hard for you to kind of let things see as they are in front of us, then we have to accept things because we want to believe it. If your husband's cheating on you and you don't want to believe that he's cheating on you, so you think, no, he's not really cheating on me, but then you stay in a situation that you shouldn't stay in, or if you think that your wife doesn't really, you know, is just kind of has contempt for you, but you don't face it and you don't sit down with this person and sit across from them and say, we really have a problem in our relationship, then you just make do like everything's okay and you don't talk about it or you minimize it. And then you just say, okay, I guess that's just the way it is. Or you have this very distant relationship with your parents and you go to see them because you feel obligated instead of, you know, and you say, well, I got to go see my mother. I haven't seen her in 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever it is. I got to fly out. I got to go home for Thanksgiving or what have you. When you really don't want to, and they're really not interested in you, or they're very critical of you. And so you live this life where you're stressed, where you're getting on a plane to go to Minnesota or Michigan or Florida, and you really don't want to go because your parents are kind of devolved people who don't really care about you. Or you go home and you have dinner with your husband and wife, and the relationship seems to be somewhat dead, but neither of you are saying, this is so hard. And what happens to us? You know, you, me, we all live the life that we are, we all create the life that we're living. It's not someone else's fault. It's our fault. People come to see me and tell me about their circumstances, and yet how bad they feel at home, how bad they feel with their husband, how bad they feel with their wife, how bad it seems. And yet, at the end of the day, I say, listen, sounds pretty horrible. But you know what? You're going to leave my office. You're going to go home. You're going to cook that person dinner. You're going to bring dinner home. Sleep with that person. Wake up and do it all again. What does that say about you? What does that say about who you are and what you're doing with your life? We have to create the world that we want to live in. We have to find meaning. And I know that when you're feeling depressed or you're feeling anxious or you're feeling lonely or you're feeling despondent, you have a feeling that says, you know what? Why even try? It's just not going to work. I'm 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I've been in this. What's out there? You know, what's out there? I don't know what's out there. Do you know what's out there, Gary, on the dating world? Fine, I have this crappy relationship, but you know what? At least it's someone to go to a movie with on Saturday, or at least I have somebody. And I respect that. And so we follow what Thoreau tells us, you know. We live a life of quiet desperation. I get it. I understand that. I don't think that's not a rational decision. So we kind of like shut down part of ourselves because we just say, I grew up in a home where my parents were just kind of mediocre. They were nice, maybe lovely people, but they never reached for their existential meaning. How many people live for that kind of existential meaning where they're in their life and they're, at 70, they're doing yoga and they're reading and they're meditating and they're curious and they read books that challenge them and they challenge what's told to them, right? No, it's not what happens, right? If you consider yourself a Christian, you consider yourself a Christian because someone told you a story when you were a little girl or a little boy, and you've decided that that's the truth for the rest of your life without ever questioning. That idea that there is a heaven and there is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in order to get to heaven, that what? That I have to accept that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and that gets me into heaven someplace, that there I get to live my actualized life. There I get to live joy. So this life, the 70 or 80 or 90 years that I'm living here, is just, oh, just a slog. Just got to keep that belief that I have some prize at the end, some participation award that's going to give me some joy. But then again, if I'm a Jew, well, no. The Jew believes in the Messiah, of course, because someone told me that story. But it wasn't Jesus. No. I don't believe that. So I have a different story. And then I'm a Muslim, I got a different story. And all any of these stories may be true, but when does Gary Penn say, wait a minute, let me think. Let me be open to not knowing. Let me think. We sit there and we look at our country and go, we're the moral country. We're the ones. All these other countries are barbarians. All these countries, they kill people. They behead people. I'm not defending these horrible people who do horrible things. But what did we do as a country 10 years ago? Or 12, 13 years ago when we invaded another country? How many tens and hundreds of thousands of people did we kill? People are in Iraq that can't see, don't have legs, lost their children, have shrapnel stuck in their spine or their knees that they can't get out, that walk in pain. Why are we so wonderful? I'm old enough to know when I see what happens in Vietnam and all the people, all the death. For what? Are we somehow, because we were told that our country's an amazing, and I'm not saying that we don't live in an amazing country, but if we can't look at ourselves and say, you know, we really have some big problems, we have to look at ourselves. It doesn't mean that we don't protect people and we don't have interventions in other countries. But I want you, I want me, I want us to be free thinkers. And if we're going to evolve, we need to become enlightened. We need to become self-aware. We need to question why we believe what we believe. We need to believe and question what we get. You are the architect of your life. Your world, your life, if you're 40 years old, the next 50 years of your life is a blank canvas, I promise you. You, if you want to stay married, stay married. People come to me and they say, you know, Gary, all the time I go, life is so hard. I hate my job. I don't know what I'm doing here. All I do is work. I work 60, 70 hours a week, and I just don't have any money, and it's just so hard, and I'm just so miserable, and there's climate change, and there's no water anymore. I say, okay, I got it. Now what? Move to Ecuador. Move to Panama. Do something there. Take your retirement. Move there. Live like a queen. Live like a king. I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying you could do that. If you open yourself up, if you take your blinders off, if you say, this is my life, this is my growth, but I am a what number of molecules and bits of energy that are make up my body, that have bound together, that make up the cells of my body and my brain, and I hope I have a soul. That is my soul, is my heart, is my life, is the love, is the things that I want and things that I feel. is that an American Jew? And I'm supposed to just love Israel or love America or not be able to say to myself, you know, well, Jews have really had a tough time of it lately, haven't they? They've really done some bad things. Can I not say that as a Jew? Can I not say, you know, well, look what happened with Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers and AIG. Does that make me a self-hating Jew? Or do I have to just love Jews? Do I have to just love Americans? Can I not say, oh, gee, what happened with Bush and Cheney was horrific? But do I have to be a liberal to say that? Can I not be a Republican and say these people were awful? If I'm a Republican, do I just have to love Republicans? If I'm the son of my parents, do I just have to love and defend them? Or can I say, damn, these are broken, awful people. Can we become free thinkers? Stress and anxiety and loneliness and meaning. We have to find meaning, and the way to find meaning and the way to de-stress ourselves is to be free of what we think we're supposed to do. Is to be open and to think about it and to make decisions. Because if we don't, and we go through this feeling of just being dead inside, then what? Then I wake up and I smoke some weed and I just try to numb myself out, or I have a couple of cocktails, or life is so, and I start to feel hatred, and I start to listen to people like Ted Cruz or Donald Trump, and I say, yeah, screw him. Screw them all. Keep them all out. Get rid of them. And then I start feeling the passion of anger and hatred, as Yoda would say, or Vader would say, feel the power of the dark side. Ego and superiority. And does that really mean that my meaning? It's so easy to go there when you're feeling despondent. It's so easy to go after the weak ones. Finding meaning in your life. Asking for more. You know, in order to combat loneliness, you have to be comfortable being alone. You have to be comfortable being in your own skin so you're not with someone that's dead inside, that you don't make excuses for a bad relationship. That you don't blame yourself. Why doesn't my wife want to have sex with me, or my husband doesn't go, oh, it must be my fault. How about I may be flawed, but they're this. And maybe, you know, a lot of times we're so terrified of being lonely that we stay in a horrible relationship, because the good news, the healthy thing that we do when we're not supposed to be in a relationship is we're alone on Saturday night. And if I can hold that and say, I'm okay. I'm more than just, you know, I'm not going to define myself as pathetic because I'm not with someone tonight. I'm not going to go to any restaurant, whether it has a C or a D rating. I'm going to show patience, and I'm going to show self-love, and I'm going to show a sense of peace. Maybe I need to learn how to meditate. Maybe I need to learn how to open myself up and not know and think and say, I know something's out there. I have to hold this. I have to believe. I have to have a sense of faith. I have to think about what I believe about creation and about the world and about what things can be. There's so much for us. Why do people think the government's great? The government's not always great, right? Why would a liberal believe the government knows everything? They don't. Why can't the Democrats say that the Democrats screwed up the pension systems and that's why all these cities and states are broke? right? Why can't I say that I think teachers have a great job without me being some asshole? Now, maybe I am an asshole and maybe I'm wrong, but don't automatically think I'm wrong, right? Maybe, teacher works 175 days a year. They work for 30 years. They get 90% of their top salary for the rest of their life. I don't think that's a bad gig. Now, I don't get to retire after 30 years and get 90% of my top salary. Maybe I should. Maybe we should think about that. But I'm saying, can't we just think about that? Can we be open and free and not afraid to say what we think? Can't we do that? Really, I just don't understand why this is so hard to be free and think politically, economically, spiritually. Can't we learn how to communicate better? Can't we learn how to be less defensive? Can we explore ourselves? Can we think about why? Why would you be against gay marriage? Like, why? Think for yourself. Back in the 90s, there was a movie. There was a series. It was on like for a little bit. Fox Television. Who wants to marry a midget? Now, where is the sanctity of marriage there? And then there was Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Again, where is the sanctity of marriage there? Why do you hate this? Because some preacher told you their interpretation of biblical meaning? Become a free thinker. Be free. Ignite the part of yourself. Stop trying to shape yourself into something. Can't you be a Republican and hate George W. Bush? Sure, fine. Can't you, when you look at, people who are Republicans say, government's bad. Fine, I can admit government's bad in a lot of ways. But why can't a Republican say that business is bad? Why is private business so much better? Why would you believe that if that's what you believe? Why is Volkswagen, you just want to say like, well, that's a private business. Lehman Brothers was a private business. BP was a private business. General Motors was a private business that decided to say to themselves, it's better to save 57 cents a car, even though there's going to be so many people die because of the ignition problem. I don't know. Can't we just sit there and say, let me find good people, smart people, not ideologues, not people that just are against one person and for another just because that fits into their dogma. Let us be open. Let us be free within ourselves, within your relationship, within your job. If you don't love your job, great. Go to an extension course, take a class, learn, get together with friends. You know, if you work 40 hours a week, you have another 60, 70 hours a week to do stuff. So much to do. There's stress, there's loneliness. Don't resist going to the dark side. Resist wanting to throw everyone out, throw all the illegals out. Identify all the bad people that are afraid. We lost 14 people in San Bernardino. And what do? We go to the darkest place. I want to get a gun with a 100-round magazine so I can kill everybody. It's the dark side. Remember what Yoda said, fear, anxiety, hatred all lead to the dark side. It is hard, difficult to live with flow, with openness, with optimism, not reckless optimism, but with an understanding and a belief. Oh, I know what I sound like. I don't even know what I sound like. I see the pain. I have a front row seat. There's so much more for us, so much more for me. There's a sense of expansion, of openness, not naivete, not that we don't protect ourselves and we're not smart, but smart is better than belief. Smart is better. Be smart, be thinking, be open, open your heart. I've got a podcast more. I like this. 25th. Watch for my live podcast event. It's a live one. You'll be able to come and see me with Angel Quintana. It's going to be amazing. In Echo Park, Silver Lake Echo Park. It's going to be wonderful. Thursday, 6 to 10. I hope to see you there. I miss you guys. I want more. Thank you for listening. Tell everyone to listen to this podcast. I don't know if it's good. I think so. All right. Till next time. This is Dr. Gary Pat. Be well.